That was not intentional, Kathy Hansen. I will add to you.
I think it might have been.
So you were up right around Bethy Whalen, I believe, and Ruth Miller.
I think I might have been first.
Technically, I'm pretty sure you might have been, actually. Okay. Was there anyone else who would like to speak under People to be Heard?
Brent Miller.
Yes.
Brent Miller, thank you. I have added you.
David.
Go ahead, David.
Hello? Yes, David.
David, what's the last name, please?
Hicks.
Thank you, David Hicks. I think I heard one more person. Last and final call here for People to be Heard. Quickly running down the list to make sure I have you. Beverly Hoffman, Amber Jones, Henry Hunter, Eileen Arnold, Lou Smink, Bethany Whalen, Kathy Hansen, Ruth Miller, Beth Tressler, Christy Inman, Lonnie Galato, Rick Robb, Brent Miller, and David Hicks. If I have missed you, please let me know. Wonderful. We will get the meeting started. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Look, I'm going to go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Bethel City Council to order. It's December 8th, 2020. It is 6:31 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Clerk Strickler, will you conduct the roll call, please?
Councilmember Barr.
I'm here.
Thank you. Councilmember Leary.
Present.
Councilmember Springer.
Here.
Councilmember McCormick.
Here.
Councilmember Henderson.
Present.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Mayor DeWitt.
Present. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is People to be Heard. And under People to be Heard, each person signed up will have 5 minutes to speak. As a reminder, those of you who are participating by phone, so by phone versus by computer, you will need to press *6 to mute and unmute your phone to speak. And I'll repeat that one more time. If you've called in by phone, please use *6 to mute and unmute your phone to speak. And again, 5 minutes. The first person on our list to speak this evening is Beverly Hoffman. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Thank you. Beverly Hoffman, C-E-V-E-R-L-Y-H-O-F-F-M-A-N. Dear Council, first of all, thank you for all your hard work during the COVID time. And I really appreciate everything the city is doing. But I want to talk to you and also people listening. Who is Odom Corporation? They will say it's a family business. Well, maybe it is. But that family business is a billion-dollar corporation based in Washington that operates in 5 states, including Alaska. Why are they opposing an excise tax on sugary beverages that is taking its toll on the lives of Alaska's people? The bottom line is their profit. They've been doing this since 1934. They are Alaska Store's main distributor of sugary drinks. Along with the Alaska Beverage Association, they will fight it despite what it is doing to the health of our people. My bet is that Odom and ABA finance the slick flyers that have been in our post office boxes and put in our grocery bags at the stores. They're spending a lot of money to convince you that if the city passes this excise tax ordinance, it will be on the back of low-income families. Wrong. When Lucia Galvez, formerly Barrow, introduced an excise tax. They did the same thing. Big corporate money putting strict flyers out scaring people. Do they care that 80% of the kids in our region suffered from tooth decay in the last year? No. Do they care that it has caused high obesity, heart disease, and diabetes rates? No. Do they care about our people? No, they do not. The bottom line is they care about its profit, and that's wrong. So people should really be more kicked off about that. People need to read the studies on the City of Bethel's page on, in the council agenda. That's what you, council, and everyone should be basing your decisions on. We should all care more about the health of our people. Don't be swayed by misinformation. This is not a sales tax, it's an excise tax that puts a dent on Odom profits. Does Odom need to pass this on? No, but they won't take responsibility because they don't really care. We have a 6% tax to support everything in this town. No property tax, no state tax. My challenge to Odom and others is to put your money where your mouth is. Look at the profits that you make from our region, and I challenge you to contribute 2% of it back for healthy infrastructure. We'll continue the education component, a sugar addiction, and trying to get the dollars to improve water for our people. And Odom, we want you to do your part. Quit feeding our people misinformation and take some of the responsibility for the result of sugary drinks that are killing our people. Okay, and that's off my chest. I hope I have more time. I also want to state that I support keeping Pete Williams as our city manager. During these times of struggles with the pandemic, we need a city manager who knows and understands our community. And I think that he's the right choice. I hope we hire him. And finally, on your agenda, I hope you support our local tribe, OMC, by conveying over the land under the OMC multi-purpose building. We've been working on this for a long, long time, and it's time to do the right thing there, too. Guiana, and respectfully, this is Beverly Hoffman.
Okay. Thank you, Beverly Hoffman, for coming to speak under People to Be Heard tonight at City Council. We really appreciate your time and participation in the process. Next up, under People to Be Heard, is Amber Jones. Amber, if you could state and spell your name for the record, and you will then have 5 minutes. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Amber Jones, A-R-J-O-N-E-S, and I want to thank you guys for giving me the chance to speak tonight. I'm also here to voice support for Ordinance 2025, which seeks to add the excise tax on sugar sweetened beverages. I follow the city council meetings pretty closely, and one thing I've heard repeatedly over the last few months is that there's a lot of research and a lot of support out there from public health professionals in favor of the sugar sweetened beverage. And I've also done some research of my own, and the answer is pretty clear to me. Taxes on sugar sweetened beverages lead to decreased consumption, and that in turn improves health. But that's one thing I think we can probably all agree on, right? No one's saying like pop is not bad for us. We all know it's bad. That's not the question that seems to be at the forefront of people's minds. Most of what we're hearing from people who are speaking out against the tax, and I imagine we'll hear a lot tonight, is not that pop is healthy, but how dare you take it away, and how dare you charge us more for it? And that's where I have some confusion, because I hear all of this opposition to the tax. We've seen all the flyers in our mailboxes, the bags at AC store, posts on Facebook, and all of these things tell us to contact our local city council members to voice opposition to the tax, because it's going to cost us as individuals more money, and how dare the city council do that? And my confusion in all of this messaging is why we're targeting you, the council. Sure, the council's voting on the tax, but you're not voting on whether or not to tax the people. It's an excise tax, which means the tax is on the distributor of sugar-sweetened beverages, not on the people buying them. And I suspect, though I can't know for sure since none of the flyers say who is creating them, but I suspect that all of this opposition is being promoted by the companies that the city is actually trying to tax. Odom Corporation, Pepsi, the American Beverage Association, because they want to cause an uproar. They don't want to pay more taxes because that means less profit. And so they're skewing the data and they're skewing the information available to our community to say that city council is trying to tax us more money. But that's not true. These corporations are trying to charge us more money because they aren't satisfied with how much money they're already making off of us. Of course our prices are high here in Bethel, but that's not the city council's fault. That's the distributor's fault. And sugar sweetened beverages are no different. So if you feel it's unfair that we as individuals are being charged more money to buy pop with the implementation of this tax, I urge all of you who are listening or speaking tonight and are in opposition to the tax to contact the distributors. That's where they did buy. Contact Odom Corporation. They've shown a lot of interest in this tax already. They know it's effective. They know it will reduce consumption, and they don't want to take that loss in revenue. Because they make money off of targeting us and our community with unhealthy processed items that end up costing our community way more in health care costs than they could possibly save by not having this tax. They have every power to absorb the cost of this tax. They have the power to say that they still think it's worthwhile to sell pop here and to eat the cost of the tax and not pass it on to our stores and ultimately to us. We've seen anecdotally how much pop gets sold in this town. Can you imagine how much money they make off of that? Well, we're stuck imagining because as far as I'm aware, Odom Corporation won't release any of their profit information or how much pop they sell. They're not cooperating because they don't care about us. The city of Bethel cares. Whether you agree with them on this tax or not, they're seeking to implement this care for the citizens of Bethel, and Odom Corporation and the like of them are simply trying to make money off of us at any cost. So please, I urge everyone listening, stop harassing the city council members. They're doing the best that they can to support this town, and instead go after the corporations who are targeting us for pure profit. Again, I'm in full support of this tax, and I'm also in full support of holding the proper people accountable. And to me, those people are the corporations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amber, for joining us at People to be Heard at City Council this evening. And before we move on to our next person to speak under People to be Heard, I want to remind folks to mute their phones or their computers, however you're participating in Zoom. And if you're on by phone, again, that's *6, just so that the person who's speaking is not interrupted. So thank you for that. That brings us to our third person who is here to speak under People to be Heard, and that is Henry Hunter. Mr. Hunter, could you please state and spell your name for the record? And you have 5 minutes. Mr. Hunter, if you're speaking, you might be muted, and it appears that you're calling in by phone. So if you could try to press *6.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on now, Mr. Hunter. Please state and spell your name for the record. Thank you.
Henry Hunter, H-U-N-R-Y-H-U-N-T-E-R, senior. Thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. There's two issues that I'd like to speak to you about tonight. The first one is the land under the multi-purpose building. I'm asking you, the City Council, to give your administration to begin work on conveyance of city property, which is the land under the multi-purpose building, to OMC. And who's obviously the council, we ask that the council, Bethel City Council, that we get the same consideration given to BCS and you with Norris. That's all we ask. And as you know, ONC has been partnering with the City of Bethel for many, many years, and that's the first issue. The other one is the beverage tax, and you probably, I was just listening to the first two speakers, Beverly Hoffman and the other lady, about the excise tax on the beverage. You know, I didn't know too much of that information, but now we know that information that what David is talking about, but you know, the ONC Council, without that information, we met on our last ONC Council, and we do not support Ordinance 20-25. And it's my understanding that that decision is going to be remade till postponed until springtime. And you know that once that information is given to the ONC Council, I think you know that that decision by the ONC Council will probably change. As you probably know, I think every council member hopefully received a letter that I wrote to the City Council. And that's all I guess. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter, for joining us for City Council tonight and speaking under People to Be Heard. We do appreciate that. And I hope you have a good evening. All right, next up on the agenda is Eileen Arnold. Eileen, you have 5 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Eileen Arnold, E-I-L-E-E-N-A-R-N-O-L-D. I won't take 5 minutes because I know there's a lot of people to speak. I also want to thank the council people for all the work that you guys have been doing, not just that's represented on this agenda, but all of the agendas. I think you guys are doing a really great job. I'm also in support of the so-called sugar tax. I think other people have spoken much more eloquently about the reasons why. I'll just put in my 2 cents, which is I think it's a good revenue stream for the city of Bethel, which has a lot of employees, many of who are paid by taxes. So, you know, we all need the city to function well, which, you know, means, you know, human resources and money for that. So I think it would really help the city staff, depending on where those taxes might go to. But I'm absolutely in agreement with everybody who spoke beforehand about, you know, what's sort of at the heart of this tax and who it's going to impact and who's putting all the money behind false advertising and misleading people. So I think this is a good thing for our community, and I urge you guys to vote for it. And thank you.
Thank you for joining us at City Council this evening and speaking under People to Be Heard. We really appreciate your participation in the process. All right, that brings us to the next person on the list, and I apologize. It's first name Luz, and last name starts with an S, and I'm not certain how it's pronounced. If you could state and spell your name for the record, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. And it is Luz, L-U-Z, Smenk, S-M-E-E-N-K. And I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak tonight in support of the sugar-sweetened beverage tax. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a dietitian, and I work in Anchorage, but I also work with youth through a diabetes prevention program. And I'm a member of the Alaska Diabetes Coalition. That's a statewide coalition. So my role as a dietitian is to help people of all ages understand which foods they can choose to best support their wellness and reduce their risk of chronic diseases. The discussion here tonight shows your awareness as council members for, and concern for the community of Bethel. I'm hoping that Bethel's sugar-sweetened beverage tax will generate the kind of positive effects that have been realized in many other communities, where they have helped to lower consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, raise revenue to fight health problems, and increase the awareness of health harms of sugary drinks. In support of this tax, I want to share some information about the health or unmuted of sugar-sweetened beverages. So let's talk about teeth. Kids who regularly drink soda are twice as likely to have toothache than kids who rarely drink soda. In 2018, 31% of Alaskan 3-year-olds were drinking some amount of sugary beverages every day. Our youth are experiencing the perfect storm for tooth decay because their daily consumption is happening at an age where typically good dental hygiene has not been established. Let's talk about weight and disease risk. Sugar-sweetened beverages contribute to weight gain and obesity because kids grow up on these drinks rather than on other healthier foods. And the data from the state of Alaska shows that high school students who report high consumption of sugary drinks are more likely to be overweight or obese than their peers who rarely drink sugary drinks. Why does this happen? A food label can provide the answer. The government suggests that we should try to eat or drink less than 12 teaspoons of sugar every day in order to lower our risk for diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. So let's look at a soda label. On just one bottle of soda, the label shows that when you drink that bottle, you've drunk 16 teaspoons of sugar. So just that one bottle is providing more than anyone should have in one day. In 2019, the state of Alaska reported that 50% of Alaskan high school students drink one or more sugary beverages every day. The excess calories leads to weight gain. Some studies have suggested that with each sugary drink, the risk of becoming an obese adult jumps to 60%. But we need to be concerned about more than just calories. In the long run, we need to be concerned about eating patterns that kids are establishing now. So sugar-sweetened beverages provide no nutritional benefit, and they replace drinks like milk and water that are associated with reasonable weight gain and good nutritional outcomes. Kids who drink high amounts of sugar-sweetened beverages form a habit that they will continue as adults. Well, the schools have policies that reduce these beverages during school hours, and the state of Alaska has education campaigns to get people to rethink their drinks. But a sugar-sweetened beverage tax shows the community that their leaders are supporting wellness in the community. Sugar-sweetened beverage taxes immediately reduce the consumption of these drinks, and these effects have been long-lasting. In the community of Berkeley, California, consumption dropped by 21% a year after the soda tax was levied. 3 years later, Berkeleyans were drinking half the amount of soda that they did before the tax, and consuming 29% more water. So you have the opportunity to reduce the amount of sugar-sweetened beverages that are consumed and to have a significant impact on the health of the people of Bethel. And this tax will help to raise money that will support local efforts to increase physical exercise, another behavior that reduces the risk for chronic disease. So I urge you to approve this tax, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to share it tonight.
Thank you so much for your testimony on your people to be heard.
Say that again. We were muted. I had to mute everybody. So.
Okay, sorry. Thank you so much for your testimony on your people to be heard. We really appreciate your time and thoughtfulness. And sorry, everyone. It's a Zoom world. We're going to give our city clerk a moment to get things settled, and then we'll continue. Okay. Next person on our list of people to be heard is Bethy Whalen. Bethy, if you could please state and spell your name for the record, and you'll have 5 minutes this evening. Oh, and Bethy, you may be muted, so if you're speaking, give us just a second to sort it.
Mayor, are you there?
They can't hear you. For some reason, why can't they hear you?
Oh my gosh.
Michelle, why are they muted?
Testing. Hey, when folks can hear me, let us know. Do you want me to, we need it to be recorded. I mean, I can turn on my Zoom audio. And those folks can hear me?
I wonder if I have to do *6 on this one.
You are unmuted.
Because, yeah.
Hello?
Okay, folks. Sorry. Can people hear me now? I think you can. Great. So I apologize. We had a little bit of technical difficulties here with all of the Zoom situations. The next person I'll just start over on our agenda this evening to speak under people to be heard is Bethy Whalen. Bethy, please state and spell your name for the record, and you will have 5 minutes with us this evening. Thank you.
Great, thank you. My name is Mary Beth Whalen, MaryBethWhalen. Good evening to council members and to the listening public. I'm here today to voice my support for the excise tax on the distribution of sugar-sweetened beverages that council is considering. I have a master's degree in food policy from Boston University, and I'm the current food service director for LPSD. I'm also the chair of the Public Policy and Legislation Committee for the Alaska School Nutrition Association. And through these avenues, I've seen firsthand a lot of policies around food and beverages and how they're researched, implemented, and then eventually evaluated. I've also lived in Bethel on and off for over 12 years and have seen firsthand many of the harmful effects the large consumption of pot has had on the youth and the adults of this region. I know that you've been hearing from experts about the very real dangers that overindulgence in sugar sweetened beverages have on health. And it is hard to imagine that something so prevalent and very legal in our society can be so incredibly bad for us. But if anyone takes a quick internet search, we find that the science is not in question. And what I want to talk about tonight and really point out is something outside of what the health effects of sugar are. It has been very, very incredibly frustrating for me to see how easily large beverage manufacturers have been pitting the citizens of this town against each other and misrepresenting the tax the council is considering. The tax before you is an excise tax, like some people before me have said. It is not a direct tax to consumers. Council is not asking the citizens of Bethel to pay more for their pop. They are asking distributors to pay. And the distributors are very, very happy to hide behind the large beverage lobby as they spam our mailboxes and encourage us to fight with each other. There is no other point that I want to put across tonight. It is that I am absolutely appalled at the purposely misleading messaging that the citizens of this town have been a victim of and that we have seen in our P.O. boxes. The Park Connect Committee have asked the grocers in town what the profit margin on their sugar sweetened beverages are, and they have declined to answer. We've also asked the distributors to sell those products to our grocers. They have also declined to answer. And so, as several people before me have said, it's okay to have a fight as long as it's a fair fight, and right now that's not what we're having. Additionally, our community's public health is clearly the beneficiary of this excise tax. Money for the fitness center, the gym expansion project, and improvements to our parks and trails are just a few examples of things that will be done with this money. We can and should use money that comes from distribution of sugar-sweetened beverages in our community in order to directly fund projects that can improve our health. It makes sense. So I hope that the council will consider these points when they vote for the excise tax on the distribution of sugar-sweetened beverages, and thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight at City Council and for your testimony and your people to be heard. We really appreciate your time. And our next person on the list to speak under people to be heard is Kathy Hansen. Please state and spell your name for the record, and you will have 5 minutes.
Good evening, this is Kathy Hansen, K-A-T-H-Y-H-A-N-S-O-N. First, let me thank you for stepping up to be on City Council, these council members. I know it's not easy, but it's such an important job, and it's so important that we have a good councilor working for us. I want to make some comments on Ordinance 2025. The people who have spoken before me have been very eloquent, so this is going to be short. At this time, we're asking for your support to continue to allow us to bring key information to you and to the public about the devastating effects of sugar-sweetened drinks on our population. There's a lot of information out there on this topic, and even information that has been gathered about the residents of the YK Delta specifically. So it's important that people see the big picture here before they decide on it. Our timing of bringing this up during a pandemic is not perfect, because we already have a lot of public health issues on our minds. But if we continue the issue until at least April, we can have a discussion, continue to have discussions about the purposes of this proposed excise tax and share details on how we can use the earnings from it to benefit the entire community. I also finally just want to point out that, as other speakers have said, an excise tax is not a regular sales tax. with an excise tax the seller is charged. The seller doesn't have to pass that cost on to the customer. It's their choice. But they might want to make it seem like it's just a regular sales tax, so you don't blame them for that extra cost. And that's what the previous speaker was talking about, this misinformation about who's responsible for the cost. So keep that in mind as the discussion continues. And I hope we have the next several months to share with you all the information that has been gathered, and it is really pretty darn damning about sugar-sweetened drinks. You will be surprised. I look forward to your vote tonight to continue discussion on Ordinance 2025 until April. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your testimony this evening and for joining us here at City Council. We really appreciate your participation in the process. Next up on the list to speak under People to be Heard is Ruth Miller. Ruth, please state and spell your name for the record, and you will have 5 minutes.
Yes. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Okay, cool. My name is Ruth Abigail Miller. My name is spelled R-U-T-H-A-B-I-G-A-I-L, last name Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. And I'm on here tonight to support the excise tax on sugar-sweetened beverages in Bethel. And as many of you know, I routinely scream things like, no more big government. But now I think it's time for me to scream, no more hypocrisy from my government. The Bethel City Council has approved or supported taxes on the following vices or quote-unquote sins that I'm aware of. Number one, alcohol. And that kind of makes sense. According to the CDC in America, over 95,000 people die yearly from excessive alcohol use. Number two, tobacco. Also makes sense. According to the CDC, 480,000 people die every year just from smoking cigarettes. Cannabis, number three. This video was a little harder to find, but I did find a 2004 data from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which is nestled under the National Institute of Health. And it stated, this was so alarming to me, it stated zero people were dying from overdosing on cannabis. And they report on all national overdoses in America. So I'm here today standing on my virtual soapbox to urge you all to realize that sugar is poison in the same way as tobacco and alcohol. Being overweight or obese was associated with nearly 1 in 5 deaths among adults in the United States from 1986 to 2006. That's a study that's available in the American Journal of Public Health, and I think it's pretty easy to see that we have more obesity and more prevalence of being overweight now. According to the World Health Organization, 2.2 million deaths were attributed to high blood glucose in 2012. And I decided to find a stat on global deaths related to high blood sugar, as the letter that Henry Hunter Sr. had initially wrote to this council cited the COVID pandemic as a reason to vote against this excise tax on sugar-sweetened beverages. And I'm really pleased to hear that Mr. Hunter is open-minded and open to learning more about the dangers of sugar addiction. And COVID-19 is serious. It's a pandemic, and it's killing young people here in the YK Delta. Yet, in 2020, COVID-19 has killed less people by about 500,000 than sugar did in 2012. The New York Times updated their stats today, and the death count from COVID-19 in 2020 is 1.56 million. Again, 2.2 million deaths attributed globally to high blood glucose, not obesity. I urge everybody listening to Google hyperglycemia and COVID and read the National Institute of Health article titled Hyperglycemia and the Worst Prognosis of COVID. Having too much sugar in your system increases your risk of negative outcomes should you contract the coronavirus. And also, speaking of that letter that Mr. Hunter had initially wrote to City Council on behalf of OMC, he brought up another concern that they must be hearing from the people. And that concern, again, is based on propaganda that people will have to increase the amount of money they're spending to continue to feed their sugar addiction. And again, as Mr. Hunter has learned, this tax was never intended to be passed on to the consumer. It is intended to be paid for by the vendor, as the vendor is the one profiting off the people's sugar addiction. I hope that ONC and Mr. Hunter will retract their letter of opposition to this excise tax. And I know it must sound really crazy for me to be on here spouting off that people who routinely consume sugar-sweetened beverages are addicts, but it's true. Corporations like Pepsi, Odom, the Alaska Beverage Association, the sugar lobbyists, and foreign vendors such as Alaska Commercial have it in their best interest for the people out here not to think that sugar-sweetened beverages are addictive. It might sting you to hear this or even activate your defense mechanism of rage, but it doesn't make it less true. Sugar is addictive. If you do some research, I hope it leads you to the numerous peer-reviewed, evidence-based studies of sugar addiction. The reason sugar-sweetened beverages should be the target in this excise tax is because that's the most concentrated way to deliver sugar to your system. Like, eating a piece of box cake or a cookie could be likened to having a beer with a pizza, whereas a glass of Tang is more akin to a beer bomb to chase your Crown Royal. Also, Odom, shame on you for putting propaganda and lies into our mailbox.
Our time, I'm so sorry, but we've reached our 5 minutes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you guys all for your time and service to our community.
And thank you for your testimony this evening. Awesome. We really do appreciate your time. That brings us to the next person on our list to speak under People to be Heard, and that is Beth Tressler. Welcome to City Council. You have 5 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Hi, yes, my name is Beth Tressler, B-E-T-H-T-R-E-S-S-L-E-R. I want to start also by thanking City Council for the work they do and for stepping up for this important job. I, too, want to speak about Ordinance 2025 and want to, again, reiterate to those that are listening that it is intended to be an excise tax. I would like to speak to encourage the delay of the vote to take place in the spring as opposed to now. As others have said, COVID is really having an impact on our community and this tax. Has been a big topic of discussion that maybe has been overshadowed by some of the COVID-related issues that the community is dealing with. In general, I am opposed to taxing the people. And again, this is supposed to be an excise tax and not necessarily passed on to the people. I would like to point out, as others have, that there's a lot of information out there and a lot of information that has been sent to our community. None of it has been put out, has been fully accurate, and mostly it's been one-sided against the ordinance. So I'd like to share, similar to what others have, that the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages has unhealthy effects on the health of our nation. That can readily be seen in our region and our community. Sugar-sweetened beverages are a major contributor to the development of chronic health conditions. Things that we all see in our family members and those that we interact with in normal circumstances on a daily basis. Things like poor dentition, increasing rates of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. There are a few ways to try to address these issues. The biggest way is prevention. So how can we prevent obesity, type 2 diabetes, poor dental health? Those things seem easy, brushing teeth, improving diet, making sure that ourselves and our children are as active as possible, but also by education, and getting education out to the community is a key factor in preventing the ill health effects of sugar-sweetened beverages. The other ways to deal with these issues of diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, etc., is through short-term consequences and treating the condition. So by performing fillings and caps and crowns on our children, on our own teeth, by giving medications, All of those things cost money, and that money wouldn't need to be spent on treatment if we had less consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. The other way, of course, is to address the issue is responding to long-term consequences. So trying to identify long-term ways to assist a person that has ill health effects from sugar-sweetened beverages, dental implants, ingestible medications, and of course surgery to correct damage to the heart that sugar-sweetened beverages cause. Those are all ways to address the issue. The council and this ordinance is looking at a prevention method, and I support prevention methods to improve the health of our community. I also wanted to mention, why don't we hear about prevention as much? Well, I think we all know that prevention isn't necessarily glamorous, and prevention isn't backed by big corporations such as Odom. Prevention is sponsored by our state public health budget and smaller groups that want to encourage healthy eating and healthy activities. So let's think about this. When you're watching TV, maybe the Super Bowl would even be one big thing to think about. Who does all of the sponsorship for these big fancy things? Pepsi, Coca-Cola, etc. These are the same corporations and big businesses that have also been targeting our community members by sending out flyers that are not fully accurate. The drink water campaigns, the play every day campaigns, they exist, but they're state funded, and so it's harder for those smaller entities to get their message across to the public that sugar and sugar-sweetened beverages are not healthy and have ill effects on our community. We pay for it one way or the other. I'd rather pay for it in prevention than in treatment. Thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate all those that spoke before me as well. They've shared very valuable information.
Okay, thank you so much for coming to speak under People to Be Heard. Sorry to cut you off a bit. You just came up on the 5-minute time limit. We do appreciate your time and are thankful for your participation this evening with City Council. And next up on our agenda or on our list to speak under People to Be Heard is Christy Inman. Welcome to Council. Thank you for coming to speak under People to Be Heard. You have 5 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Christy Inman. Christy, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, Inman, I-N-M-A-N. I oppose the tax. After listening to the call-in, I'm wondering why the city hasn't come to my store to give me the correct information. As it stands now, if this tax is passed onto my business, I will have to close my store. But everything that everybody is saying, I think, is probably awesome and fine, but taxing food items is not the way to address this problem, I do not believe. I don't think food should ever be taxed, for one thing. And this doesn't just have to do with the Odom Corporation and the drinking of soda pop and whatever. You read fine print and all you guys' letters and stuff, and you're going to be taxing Tang and Kool-Aid and gallons of orange juice and apple juice. You know, people do need Gatorade. People need those items to survive as well. Also, my last water city bill said our water system recently violated drinking water standards. It's not safe to drink the water. So, if you can't drink the water, then why can't you drink it? A soda pop. It cost me $15.50 to ship in a case of 36-pack soda. It cost me $20 to ship in a case of water. You know, all these things need to be factored in when it goes to taxing items that people purchase to survive. Anyhow, that's all I have to say, and thank you, and everybody have a good evening. Thank you. Education is the key, not taxes.
Thank you so much for coming to speak under People to Be Heard and participating in our process this evening. We definitely really appreciate you coming out and speaking with us tonight. Next up on our list to speak is Lonnie Galato. Welcome to City Council. Please state and spell your name for the record, and you will have 5 minutes.
Thanks for having me, everyone. Lonnie, L-O-N-N-I-E, Galato, G-L-A-U-D-O. Proud member of Alaska Beverage Association, and lifelong Alaskan. Have been in Bethel a couple of times on business, and I love the area, but couple things to bring up, and I can appreciate everybody's passion for what we're talking about here, but I think the gist of the matter here is we can't single out beverages, specifically sugar sweetened, for societal issues. There's got to be a better way to get around into things that are plaguing the community and come up with different solutions on how to do. Beverages are just one piece of a lifestyle choice. I guess also along the lines, I want to point out that we're going through Coke and Pepsi and those kind of terminologies, both of which are big companies that have vast portfolios, sugar-sweetened beverages, without crunching the numbers, probably 50 to 60% of what we offer to help residents and communities and consumers and retailers with their choices on what to drink and what to offer. So a couple other things I'd like to point out while we're going along here is the flyers, the way that excise tax is being offered, it was not legally responsible for us to need to identify as being the Alaska Beverage Association, not in the I-4, but given that it's not going to the vote of the people and it's being done in the city council as far as the offering, that is the reason why that didn't have to happen. Again, nothing to hide for, but along those lines, somebody mentioned the Ujjaipak tax about a year ago. That was given to the people, and we were loud and proud on all of our insights to the retailers and the consumers, and that was about, off the top of my head, 80% voted against by the people. So I appreciate everybody on the call sharing their insight from professionals to consumers to retailers, but who this affects the most at the end of the day will be the consumers, and the 2 cents amended excise 10 tax per ounce. I am not aware of one business model that would allow for a business to absorb any of that. Not only can a business not absorb that, but at the end of the day, the people of Bethel that you're ultimately representing certainly can't afford that. I brought up the analogy last time of $2 a 12 pack because that's a hot button for everybody. Again, not the only sugar sweetened beverage out there. Now at the new 2 cent per finished ounce rate, it will be right around $4. Not to include, somebody mentioned Tang earlier, that's going to be about $21, or maybe that's Kool-Aid. It's a matter of the finished ounce. When you talk about poor water quality, you can't drink, or it's borderline. These are very real things when people are trying to do the right thing and want to have a little sip of enjoyment, if you will, in their lives, that we just can't burden them specifically or the beverage companies specifically with all the societal problems. So another thing that I would also say is if this passes, there's going to be consumers are very witty people and will undoubtedly find ways around everything that you're trying to accomplish and the way you're trying to accomplish it. So I throw it out there that this is not a beverage industry problem. There's probably more societal problems that we could talk to and point fingers at, but I heard education is the key. I think that's a pretty big talking point moving forward. I hope the council takes in all the testimony of hopefully there's some consumers. I heard a retailer on the line. I appreciate all the nutritionist professionals and everything they have to offer to the conversation, but not at one point. I guess from a beverage company standpoint, moderation is our key. We want you to enjoy the many brands across our portfolio and just single out anything with the sugar in it. Whether it's my beverage, my competitor's beverage, I couldn't tell you who sells in this world, but anyway, you just have to get the message out of moderation and be much, much better at the message that we're sending. And I would also say that I can't think of one misleading item. Happy to have more dialogue on any of the print materials we've done in mailboxes with retail partners and to get the message out on what it means to the people. There's no misleading there, and I'd love to circle back around with anybody interested so we can vet through what that looks like.
Okay.
So,
all right. You've come up on past your 5 minutes now. We're about 5 minutes and 20 seconds, so I'm so sorry.
I was just getting warmed up, but all kidding aside, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you so much for coming out to City Council tonight and speaking under People to Be Heard and sharing your perspective. We really appreciate your time and your participation. All right, that brings us to former Mayor Rick Robb. Welcome to City Council. Please state and spell your name for the record, and as you well know, you have 5 minutes.
Yeah, good evening. Richard Robb, ROBB. Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. I'd like to state my adamant opposition to the sugar tax on different levels. One thing we have to look at is the role of our city government. In my opinion, the role of the city government is public safety, streets and roads, parks and rec, utilities. It's not telling people what to consume and what to eat and drink. Ultimately, the city does not need the money. We, year after year after year, the city has operated in the black, bringing in more tax revenue than it has spent. The city has tens of millions of dollars in the undesignated general fund reserves. I don't know what that exact number is today, but I'm sure members of council and administration know what that is. I'd also point out that this year we've already received a major tax increase. The city council has raised a new tax without notifying people on online sales, and we are now paying that. And the city council has already raised taxes this year. And I really question whether our current council members want to be known as a council that continues to raise taxes multiple times in 1 year. I believe this tax will increase inflation and the cost of living. As we all know, we are already opposed. We already have a very high cost of living in this community. And to go out and voluntarily raise taxes on ourselves, increase the cost of living, I think is not in the best interest of the people of Bethel. It's not a best in our community where it's hard enough to, where life is tough enough and where it's hard enough to have people come and live here and work here. Have to realize that ultimately this tax is going to hurt people. It is going to increase the cost of sales, it has increased the cost of living, and the people that can least afford it are paying the most. That's how these things work. Several people before me have stated that this is an excise tax, not a sales tax, and that it would not have to be passed on the consumer. But reading some of the material, my understanding is the intent of this ordinance is to increase the cost of sugary beverages, therefore reducing consumption for health reasons. And there are valid health reasons. I'm not saying sugar is healthy, and we all know it's not. But the intent of this is to increase the cost, so the intent is to pass on the consumer, and that will be the effect. And to several people have stated that doesn't have to happen, but that is the intent. I think we have to understand that. So once again, on many levels, I would encourage council members to reject this. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight at council. Former Mayor Robb, always good to see you come out and participate in city government. And thanks for sharing your perspective. All right, next on the list is Brent Miller. You'll have 5 minutes, Brent. And if you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Brent Miller, B-R-E-N-T-M-I-L-L-E-R. I'd first like to thank the council for giving me time and opportunity to speak. I am a lifelong Alaskan and a member of the Alaska Beverage Association. I would say that I do not support any taxes in any segment of business or products that raises taxes, especially during these trying times that we're currently going through. I believe that it has to be a multi-pronged approach, everything in moderation. Education is certainly a piece, and physical activity has a part to play in it as well. And that will help everybody get to the goal that they're looking for. It has been shown over the past several years that carbonated soft drinks have steadily been on decline. While health risks associated with sugar have continued to grow. And it has shown during different tax campaigns across the United States that the taxes do not always drive the behavior that they intend to, but they do always hurt the people who can least afford it. So this is being called an excise tax, a distributor tax. I think that if it went to the vote of the people, you would certainly get an overwhelming response. What the people want. I don't think that they need the government to tell them what to eat or drink. I think that that's everybody's individual choice. And I just hope that the council will take the advice, and I understand for every people are very passionate about this. You have people that really want it. They want it for the betterment of the community. You have people that don't want to be told or taxed. And this tax will not be, and I can tell you across any tax campaign across the United States, whether it be called an excise tax, sales tax, or anything, the taxes are passed through. And the ultimate person that will pay that are the consumers. I don't think there's one individual tax campaign that has gone through over the past 10 years to where the distributors or the retailers receive the tax. It always is a pass-through. So I appreciate your time and the time letting me speak, and have a good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us at Bethel City Council this evening and speaking under People to Be Heard. We appreciate your participation this evening. And next up, we have David Hicks on the list to speak under People to Be Heard. Welcome, David. You will have 5 minutes this evening. Please state and spell your name for the record. Thank you. Mr. Hello. Oh, there you go. We can hear you now.
I'm sorry. I apologize. My name is David Hicks, D-A-V-I-D-H-I-C-K-S. And in the interest of transparency, I would like to say that I manage, work for Alaska Commercial and manage the store, AZ store, for 12 years. I'm currently the manager of Swanson. I call you as a citizen and a voter, not as a retailer. My objection to this proposed ordinance has nothing to do with the fact that I happen to be a retailer. And listening to the wonderful people that have commented here, I feel severely outclassed and uneducated, but I'll give it my best shot. My opposition to this tax, first of all, I think it's irresponsible to vilify Odin Corporation or PepsiCo Corporation or any other corporation that manufactures these legal products that are offered for sale. The information that's been propagated on the flyers is not misleading, and as a couple other people have suggested, these excise taxes, similar to the excise tax on tobacco that the city council passed, these are pass-through taxes. They're Swanson's or AC or the manufacturer of Kool-Aid and Tang are not going to bear an additional $21.76 on a canister of Tang that currently cost $6.99 in Anchorage and $12.99 in Bethel, and it's going to go up by over $20 to $35 to $37, $38 a canister. I think there are a lot of well-meaning, misguided people that support this. I'd like to point out to the people that are listening, and some of the people on this call I'm sure are aware of this, we put this issue to the vote of the people approximately 10 years ago. I believe Leif Albertson was the one that wrote the proposed tax or ordinance, and the people spoke through a vote. if this was a popular vote that was put to the people, I support the will of the people. I supported the will of the people with the liquor store, the marijuana store. I was actively involved, and I voted in those elections, and I would do so again if this was on the ballot. But it's not, and I think it's irresponsible to vilify any particular group, Odom Corporation or Pepsi Cola. The reason why I'm calling, beyond that, the undemocratic taxation without representation aspect of this, is on behalf of the people of the YK Delta and people that live in Bethel that are overwhelmingly poor. You know, 20% of Bethel residents get food stamps. If you add in the surrounding villages, the percentage increases to 58% of people. We speak about this issue as if food security was not a concern during the coronavirus pandemic, and as if cheap water was available coming out of the tap, which it's not. As Christy pointed out, my last water bill said I'm not supposed to drink my tap water, and current value for a gallon of Anchorage tap water is over $7 here in Bethel. You know, the per capita income is around $20,000 a year. The median income level here in Bethel is $50,000 to $60,000 a year annually. According to the state of Alaska, 60% of children under 17 grow up in poverty in Bethel. And to institute these taxes on people that are unrepresented or underrepresented or not able to represent themselves or not predisposed for vocal opposition to this is just irresponsible, in my opinion. We don't have access to safe drinking water, and we all want people to make more responsible choices and be active, but we did vote on this before. And again, an excise tax, I'm not willing as a voter or a citizen to vilify any particular corporation, but those figures are not misleading. We voted also to increase our sales tax from 5 to 6 cents on the dollar, and supposedly some of that money was earmarked, or supposed to be earmarked for the swimming pool, and the way that it's set up, you cannot earmark these taxes for any individual purpose, although we might be assured as voters that that is the intent and that's what will happen. But it certainly hasn't been the case in the last two taxes that the increase in the sales tax or the excise tax on tobacco, which is supposed to go to fund children's programs. The people that this will affect the most are poor people whose household income do not allow them internet access. Only 73% of households in Bethel have internet access. And a large percentage of Bethel, I would hazard to say, and I couldn't find any information about it, but more people here do not have a state ID or a federal ID that would allow them to have a bank account, that would allow them to order stuff online.
Your 5 minutes passed. I'm sorry, but you've reached your 5 minute limit, Mr. Hicks.
Well, again, there's no way for those underrepresented people to order stuff online and avoid this tax. So we're messing with food security.
Your time is up. But thank you for joining City Council this evening. I appreciate your participation, and I'm glad that you came out to share your opinions this evening with all of us. Much appreciated. Okay, that brings us to the next person signed up to speak under People to be Heard, and that is Zach Pleasant. Zach, you'll have 5 minutes. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Oh, look at that. Thank you. And Bethel's own Zach Pleasant, E-A-C-H-P-L-E-A-S-A-N-T. And thank you once again, Bethel City Council, for allowing me to speak on my issue. I am born and raised here in Bethel, Alaska, proudly, and I'm here to support the many people that, including my brothers and sisters of Bethel and the YK Delta, that are not strong here. I say that because I know that that many people do not have the privilege or the access to internet Zoom, or have to attend this city council meeting via phone. I was raised in a household throughout different aspects or different subdivisions of Bethel, and still the tap water was unsafe to drink, and it is still unsafe to drink to this day. There is a household. We did have some paying sports drink, but I still do not depend on, I still depend on water as my choice of beverage. I am a health advocate as an elementary, junior high, and high school wrestling coach, and I teach them on a daily basis to watch what you eat and drink. And I believe that education is key. I believe that taxation without representation is unconstitutional, and why it's both in favor of the taxpayer and republic say, let the people that are in the community decide the choice. Not only, not just a handful of members of the community. And I believe that this tax ordinance will only affect the many people that cannot attend or be here tonight. And as a born and raised educator from this region and this town, like I said, I believe education is key, and that's why I oppose for this tax. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us this evening at Bethel City Council and speaking under People to be Heard. Your participation is very much appreciated. That brings us to the next person on our list to speak, and that is Sean Davis. Sean, please state and spell your name for the record, and you'll be given 5 minutes this evening.
Good evening. My name is Sean Davis, S-E-A-N-E-A-B-S. I am a dentist with Utah Custom Health Corporation, and I am very thankful to the City Council and to the people for allowing me to come here and speak, share my knowledge in a field that I have particular expertise in. I'd like to voice my strong support for Ordinance 2025, the excise tax on sugar sweetened beverages. I've been listening to what people have to say, and I'm glad that this has generated a vigorous conversation. People are interested in it. People are responding to it, and I am glad to see an amount of motivation. But a couple of things that I wanted to point out very quickly. In direct opposition to what our friends at the Alaska Beverage Association have said, there was a CDC report, and in 2008, the CDC released a report that said that children in the YK region who consume one sugary beverage per day compared to children who do not have double the rate of caffeine. Children who consume three or more sugary beverages per day have triple the rate of caffeine. These cavities cause pain, which prevents children from being able to play, prevents them from being able to learn, and necessitates the parents take time off of work in order to come in to the dentist to see me and have uncomfortable work done that is a serious detriment to their time, their ability to live their life autonomously. Moreover, I would like to talk about how this sugary sweetened beverage issue is one that primarily affects people who are not able to make. And with our children, we don't allow our children to participate in gambling. We don't allow our children to buy addictive things like cigarettes. However, we know that in sugar we have an addictive substance that is causing verifiable health damage to them and to the community. All the things that we can do to prevent our children from getting addicted to a damaging, as community members who are working to support each other. When we talk about the amount of tax that's going to be placed on to something like a can of Tang, that's the amount of damage that that bottle of sugar is able to do. 66% of the children in our region, in the YK region, end up in the hospital sedated with machine breathing for them in order to have their teeth fixed because of the amount of infection that is present in their mouth. And according to the CDC, one of two issues that's causing that is sugar sweetened beverage. The other one is access to appropriate medicines, ordinance, which is something that we continue to work on. I would also like to thank Richard Ross.
The host would like to warn you the microphone. You can press star 6 to unmute.
Public safety, because in passing this excise tax, that's exactly how the government will be acting.
You are unmuted.
We have our city council. Our city council is elected by the people to represent us on important issues. And I would like to finish off by asking the city council to strongly consider their support for the pass of the ordinance 2025 for the sugar green beverages. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for coming out this evening to speak and your people to be heard. We really appreciate your participation and are happy that you were able to join us this evening. And next up on our list is Jamie Morgan. Jamie, please state and spell your name for the record, and you will be given 5 minutes this evening.
Thank you. My name is Jamie Morgan, J-A-M-I-E-M-O-R-G-A-N. And thank you so much for giving me time to speak this evening. I work for the American Heart Association, and we are in strong support of Ordinance 2025, which raises the excise tax on sugary drinks, not all beverages, sugary drinks. The harmful health effects of sugary drinks are clear. Having even one per day significantly increases a person's risk of developing heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and tooth decay. As a science-based organization, the American Heart Association supports a multi-pronged approach to address high sugary drink consumption, including sugary drink excise taxes. Sugary drinks like soft drinks, fruit drinks, sweetened coffees, and teas, and energy drinks are the leading source of added sugar in the American diet. You have already heard some of these statistics, but they bear repeating. Alarmingly, about 23% of Alaskan adults and almost 50% of Alaska high school students drink one or more sugary beverages every day. Even more disturbing is that 31% of Alaska three-year-olds drink some amount of sugary beverages every day. The potential harm for children who consume an average of more than 30 gallons of sugary drinks a year, including sports drinks, sweet fruit-flavored drinks, and soda, are particularly concerning. The American Heart Association recommends that children have no more than 1 8-ounce sugary drink a week, but children are consuming as much as 10 times 7 ounces. I appreciate some of the issues Mr. Miller raised, but we know that sugary drinks have important. Studies estimate that there is a 55-to-1 turn in healthcare savings from this kind of sugary drink tax. Contrary to what the opposition has said, the tax is good for business. There will not be a black market. Areas where sugary drink taxes have been passed, we have seen a growth in the food sector as well as in sales tax revenue. The American Heart Association has been involved in many of these campaigns, and the opponents of sugary drink taxes argue that low-income consumers will be inevitably burdened by an excise tax. What is known is that low-income communities are currently disproportionately affected by the chronic diseases associated with sugary drink consumption. Evidence from the taxes that have passed shows that sugary drink taxes can reduce consumption and are raising critical revenue at the same time that set programs and policies to improve health and education for children and families, particularly those in low-income areas. American Heart Association supports this ordinance and respectfully urges you to do so as well for the health of the community. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening and for participating at Bethel City Council. Much appreciated. And that brings us to the next person to speak under People to be Heard, and that person is Diane McCaffrey. Diane, could you please state and spell your name for the record, and you'll be given 5 minutes. Thank you. And Diane, if you're there, you are muted, and if you've called in by phone, it's possible you might need to press the star 6 to unmute yourself. So we'll give you another moment to see if that's the issue.
As we wait, Mayor DeWitt, Diane McEachran did ask me at 7:24 how far down the list she was. I did not interrupt you to ask you how far down the list she was, so she may have had an obligation that she needed to
okay.
end the meeting.
All right, Diane, if you, I will come back to your name at the end of the list just to make sure you weren't having a technical issue. And in the meantime, we'll move down to the next person on the list. That was Joel Thomas. Joel, if you could please state and spell your name for the record, and you'll be given 5 minutes this evening. Welcome.
Thank you. Joel Thomas, J-O-E-L-T-H-O-M-A-S. I'll be really short. I do not support this tax. I would like an opportunity to vote on it, and I think that would be fair for the community to have that opportunity to vote. I don't think the city of Bethel needs the income. They've got the large savings of somewhere around $20 million, I understand. And I think the community voters should have an opportunity to vote on this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for joining us this morning and sharing your perspective and for people to be heard. Very much appreciated. And that brings us to the next name on the list, and that is Tucker Burnett. Tucker, please state and spell your name for the record, and you'll be given 5 minutes. And if you're trying to speak, we cannot hear you. One more moment for Tucker Burnett. Okay.
Am I there?
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now. You can state and speak
right,
your
right.
name in 5 minutes.
All right. So I'm Tucker Burnett, P-U-C-K-E-R-B-U-R-N-E-T-T. Thank you for giving me a last minute opportunity to speak. I wasn't really prepared to, but I'm excited that I get to. Everyone before me has spoken very eloquently, and I've hit the really important topics. I'm in Denison region, and I just wanted to bring to light that there was recently a study that was specifically showing the effects of sugary drinks in our region, and the extensive oral health disparities that we are constantly observing. The study was published in the Journal of Public Health Dentistry. And with the use of dental records to establish surveillance for dental decay in rural Western Alaska. I'm just going to hit the key points here real quick. So for the YK Delta decay missing and filled teeth study, which is a survey that is done nationally for public health, that just looks at the number of teeth that have been affected by dental cavities. In 2008, a survey of the area of the YK Delta found that 87% of children between 4 to 5 years old had caries, had cavities, with an average DMFT, so dental missing, or decayed missing filled teeth, of 7.3. So the score for the DMFT was 7.3. The U.S. average of that same range was 1.6 at that point. Then in 2019 now, so the study that was just completed and just published on Sunday, among all 3-year-olds in our Delta, 82% have active caries with a mean DMFT of 6.6. 3-year-olds, 82% of all 3-year-olds have active decay. Among all 5-year-olds, 92% have active decay. With a mean DMFT of 11. That means that out of 20 possible teeth, the average child has 11 affected teeth. For the U.S. average, as compared to 92%, the U.S. average is 21%, 21.4%, with a mean DMFT of 4.3.
So please compare that. The U.S. average DMFT is 4.3. The YK Delta average DMFT is 11. That is a huge disparity. So what does that result in? Currently, 70% of all Laughing children born in the YK Delta will receive whole mouth dental rehab. That's what Dr. Davis was talking about, where your child is sent to the OR and put to sleep to work on all of their teeth. By the time they reach the age of 6, 70% of the children. In a comparison, the only study that has been done in the lower 48 in that same regard found that only 0.19% of children in New York would have the same procedure done by the time they're 6 years old. 0.19% compared to 70%. That is a 368-fold difference in prevalence. And I'm here to tell you that the number one cause, absolutely, is sugary drinks. If your argument is about the money, that you want, don't want to be taxed, you don't want to raise your cost of living, I get it. I don't want to either. But think about how much tax money it costs to send 70% of our children to the OR and to treat nearly 70% more cavities than the average U.S. child. That is a lot of tax money that's being spent. So if you're mad about tax money, think about that part. If your opposition is that this will raise the price of groceries, no sugary beverage should be part of a necessity or considered necessary for your groceries. It really shouldn't be. It's just like saying that cigarettes are part of your groceries. I promise you it is exactly the same thing. You've been tricked to believe that juice and Gatorade are necessary, that they're part of your healthy lifestyle to drink juice and Gatorade. It's absolutely untrue, and the people that trick you into thinking that are profiting billions off of the deleterious health effects that they cause. A sugary beverage should never be considered part of necessary groceries. So when your argument is that it's going to raise grocery prices, it's not. It's not. If people stop spending their money on soda and juice and Gatorade, they might have more money for things that are probably healthier for them.
Okay, excuse me, Tucker. I'm sorry. You've reached your 5-minute limit.
No, that's totally fine. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for joining us this evening and sharing your information with us and our people to be heard. Very much appreciated. Clerk Strickler, do you know, are you aware if anyone else has joined us this evening and wishes to speak under people to be heard?
So I've been regularly checking in on the chat, but I've not had an opportunity to check over the phone. If people have joined us over the phone, we may need to check in with them.
Okay, has anyone else joined us over the phone at the meeting who would like to speak now? If so, you may need to press *6. And this includes a call out to Diana Catherine if you've rejoined us and would like to speak. Anyone? All right. That concludes people to be heard. Let me stop my timer.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was someone there?
I can't figure out where the audio is coming from.
Okay.
Yeah, Tim Myers would like to talk.
Oh, okay. Tim Myers. Yes. Let me get my timer going. All right. Please state and spell your name for the record. And you'll be given 5 minutes to speak.
Hi, this is Tim Myers, T-I-M-M-E-Y-E-R-S. I don't like to get that much into the subject, but I have a point that surplus CARES money that we may have to return, I would like to ask for to produce produce boxes for the community. My idea would be to produce about 300 quality boxes of produce a week and give them to the food bank to distribute this money. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Okay, if it's under your dog, I have something to add. Thank you for joining us this week and your people to be heard. We appreciate you coming out tonight, Tim.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Yep.
All right, has anyone else joined us who would like to speak?
Yes. No.
Diamond.
Oh, yes. Mr. Diamond, we can hear you. Everyone else on the call, if you wouldn't mind just checking your mute button if you're participating by computer, or pressing *6, making sure you're muted on your phone if you've joined us by phone. There's a bit of background noise, I think, from all the participation this evening. All right, Mr. Diamond, please state and spell your name for the record, and thanks for joining us here at City Council. You'll have 5 minutes this evening. Welcome back.
Sure. I'm just as agreeable to speak to full business that comes up on the 10.1. I can speak then.
Did you hear him? Mm-hmm. So he's thinking that there's a public hearing on this as well, but it's just an introduction of the ordinance.
Yeah, Mr. Diamond, sorry, we were difficult to hear there. There's some competing background noise. This is not a public hearing night. There's not a public hearing of this ordinance tonight. This has not gone that far in the process. Tonight is just the introduction. So if you want to speak on this issue, people to be heard is the best place to do it. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah, so I speak against the introduction. I know you've heard from people about supposed health benefits, but it was initially proposed to the council as a way of gaining revenue. But one of the benefits of living in a second class community like Bethel is that normally all taxes are voted on by the people. But the council, the previous council, in fact, I was on the council in the past, discovered a workaround, which is creating something called an excise tax, like we have on tobacco. But inevitably, what always happens is that additional cost immediately gets passed on to the consumer. It's exactly what happened when a previous council passed the excise tax on tobacco. So it is a tax on the people. Whether it's the seller paying the city or collecting it from the consumer, it is a tax on the people. But what we haven't done is allowed the people to vote on it, which is, like I said before, the benefit of living in a second class community. Another reason I speak against it is I don't think that the city is in desperate need of the funds. The city's collecting a lot more now because we're collecting all the revenues now on the online taxes which are getting collected. In fact, that was something I voted in favor of. But if the city wants to use money to help support the rec center, which I do, we have money to do it. We don't have to pass another tax on people to do so. At least I don't think so. Another thing about this, which has kind of hurt me, is that the supporters of taxes like this frequently, for instance, don't drink a lot of soda, or This tax is kind of like the tobacco tax. In the end, the tobacco tax was proposed as a way of reducing adolescent use of tobacco. And we had countless public health people come down from YKHC supporting it. Since then, there's been no evidence that adolescent use of tobacco has decreased because of that tax. No one's come down to prove that or even state. But in the end, the city started collecting extra revenue. And who they started collecting extra revenue from were the people least able to pay it, as most tobacco users were on the lower side of the income scale. And the same is true for lots of use of sugary beverages. You'll find a higher usage among lower income populations of any ethnicity. So this is a tax, in a way, on lower income people. And you say, well, they don't have to drink the soda. but why not? I mean, that's, why not? Why burden them with that? So I would speak in opposition to this. And I think the city council, especially now, I mean, this is an unpopular thing with many people. And the city council has asked a lot during COVID of the people of Bethel. And I worry for you guys, in that I don't want you to face this burden of being disrespected and disliked because you passed a tax, which isn't necessary. This is the wrong time to pass an unnecessary tax.
Mr. Newman, your 5 minutes have passed. We're about 15 seconds over. So,
okay, we're done. So thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your perspective. Here at People to be Heard, much appreciated. Has anyone else joined us to speak at People to be Heard this evening? Okay. Hearing no one else who has signed up to speak under People to be Heard or has joined us, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the approval of the consent agenda and the regular agenda. This is a good point in time to remind people who are listening, we have a lot of folks participating this evening, that you can follow along with us if you visit cityofbethel.org. And you can find all that packet material. I'll do my best to reference page numbers as we go through things this evening. Is there a motion to approve the consent and regular agenda?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda and the regular agenda.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
Second, Madam Hanson.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hanson. At this point, we need to determine, and if there are any council members who would like to remove an item from the consent agenda. And consent agenda, for folks who are listening, are the items on the agenda that have an asterisk that will automatically pass unless they are removed, and they won't be discussed further. Does anyone wish to remove something from the consent agenda? Well, this is DeWitt, and I need to remove 10.2. So 10.2 needs to be removed from the consent agenda. Anything else? Are there any amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of passing the regular and consent agenda, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say nay. All right, that brings us to item 6, approval of meeting minutes, which we just passed on the consent agenda. And we can move on to item number 7, which is reports of the standing committees. And just as a reminder to folks who are listening, standing committees reports, every council member is assigned to a committee. We do have a number of vacancies on these committees and commissions. And you can contact the city clerk's office if you're interested in participating in one of these committees or commissions. All right, the first item on our list for a report out for committees and commissions, item 7.1, is the Port Commission with Councilmember Springer.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. I don't think we've got a Port Commission meeting. I'll stand corrected on that. I have heard from them, so that's my report.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Springer. Planning Commission with Vice Mayor Hanson.
Hi there. So we actually have a Planning Commission meeting this Thursday, December 10th at 6:30 p.m. And as always, the public is welcome to call in to have their voice be heard and also to hear what we're talking about. There are actually two items on the agenda this Thursday. One is a public hearing reviewing the Donkick subdivision agreement and hearing what the recommendation is by the Planning Commission as to whether they would recommend that the City Council enter into a subdivision agreement for that new subdivision going in across from Larson, just to give you perspective on where that is. And the other item is a discussion regarding short-term rentals in residential zones. So once again, that meeting will be Thursday, December 10th at 6:30 p.m. And the packet and agenda can be found on the City of Bethel website. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. That brings us to the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board with Councilmember Barr. Councilmember Barr.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. We had a meeting on November 7th, as to which I was unable to attend. I am assuming that we had approved a couple items on the agenda for funding. And I'm looking for for anybody that's interested in applying for a community action grant, the calendar of events is on the City of Bethel's website, and it's cityofbethel.org, and you'll find our community action grant calendar on services, other services. So if you want to know when the community action grant openings are, where you can apply for grants, please look there. And I do know that we have a action memorandum tonight where we will consider funding two of our action grant people that apply. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Councilmember Barr. Look forward to discussing those. I had to pull that item of the proposed grant awards tonight. The next item on the committee and commission's report out is the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee, and that's my committee. As you guys can tell from all the people that we heard from reading our packet, our committee sponsored a fairly big legislative item that's on our agenda for later this evening. We have not met since council last met. Our next regular standing meeting is this coming Monday at 6 p.m., so if anyone is interested in participating in that, please feel free to join in. And I do believe we might have one opening on that committee. If any members of the public are interested, please reach out to our city clerk's office. Thank you. That brings us to the Finance Committee with C.J. Conrad McCormick. Councilmember McCormick.
Thank you very much, Mayor DeWitt. I still have yet to meet with that committee. Looking forward to
report back.
So thank you.
Okay, next up is the Public Works Committee with Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. Good evening. I don't have anything new to report. We have not met since the last council meeting. Public Works Committee does still have openings. Please reach out to the city clerk if you would like to join us. And we would also love to hear from the public. Maybe you don't want to make the full commitment to, joining the committee, but we also have a people to be heard section. If people would like to bring any of their concerns forward, people to be heard is a good way to do that, participate. And then our next meeting will be on Wednesday, December 16th at 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Councilmember Leary. And the Public Safety and Transportation Commission with Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We had a meeting on December 2nd. It was a short and sweet meeting since we didn't have any reports to read or to work from. We did welcome a new alternate member, Mr. Doug Boyer, and we still have two seats open. So I encourage anyone who really does want to get involved to join one of these committees and help us out. We did talk, accept the resignation of one member, and we removed one member for lack of attendance. And we were going to have an election for a vice chair, but postpone that until January. So in January, we'll be voting for a chair and a vice chair. And then under new business, we also had discussion for an animal control officer. And we went into great detail and great discussion about that, what it would cost or, what it would take to get an animal control officer on board for that is badly needed here in Bethel. We did have one person to be heard, and see it was all for the animal control, and the fire chief was unable to be there. He had another commitment. We did have the police chief in attendance, and after hearing him discuss the possibility of an animal control officer, we found out that we still have 5 vacancies at the police department, and so the animal control officer discussion kind of ended there because there's really no support for it at this time, but we're working on a proposal and hope to bring that to the council soon. Our next meeting is the first Wednesday in January, so I encourage anybody who would like to listen in on the meeting to call in, or who would like to join the committee to contact Lori Strickler and get your name in there. Please. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you so much for the report, Councilmember Henderson, and thanks to all of the council members for staying active and engaged with your committees and commissions. Next item on our agenda is special order of business, and this is item 8.1. It's on page 17 of your packet, and it is proclaiming the week of December 27th, 2020, Frontline Healthcare Worker Appreciation Week. And I just want to share a bit about this proclamation. All of us here in Bethel and across the region and across the state really owe our frontline healthcare workers a debt of gratitude for their leadership and commitment to all of us throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think we've seen tremendous leadership from our local healthcare organization and from other organizations that work in healthcare here in the community on the issue of COVID-19, taking steps and measures to protect our residents and our citizens of Bethel, and encouraging our citizens and this body to take actions to best promote our health and safety during the COVID-19 pandemic. We know that they're working extremely hard, and we're very, very grateful for all that they do. And in recognition of this incredible effort that they have all put out on behalf of all of us over the last few months, and will continue to put forward through the next few months, the City of Bethel has declared a proclamation proclaiming the week of December 27th, 2020, Frontline Healthcare Worker Appreciation Week. And I will read it, and then I will, after I'm done reading it, I will ask if council members have anything they would like to share. Okay. Whereas the COVID-19 pandemic has been rippling through our state since March of 2020, with the first confirmed Bethel case in April of 2020, whereas our community has been preparing for and responding to the COVID-19 pandemic for 9 long and difficult months, with many critical infrastructure personnel working tirelessly to keep our community and region safe, striving to limit the impact of COVID-19, whereas our healthcare system is the backbone of our response to this pandemic, and there's a special group of critical infrastructure workers whose response to COVID-19 during this pandemic deserves special recognition. Whereas frontline healthcare workers play an integral role in responding to COVID-19, putting their lives in danger to care for our family members and friends. Whereas these are people who cannot work from home and are presented with significant risk to COVID-19 exposure with each and every patient visit. Whereas this incredible group of heroes go to work and persevere, serving their patients despite the dangers, working long and stressful hours. Whereas we recognize their immense sacrifices, invaluable dedication, commitment, and unwavering effort for the benefit of others. Whereas we wish to express immense gratitude to all of the frontline healthcare workers for their resilient efforts to keep our community and region safe, and for providing healing and hope for a stronger tomorrow. Now therefore, I, Michelle DeWitt, Mayor of the City of Bethel, do hereby proclaim the week of December 27th, 2020, Frontline Healthcare Worker Appreciation Week, and send sincere gratitude to the many people in our community and region that sacrificed so much to keep us safe and healthy. So again, I wanna express my gratitude and thanks for all of those who are working the front lines of healthcare throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And I would like to open up the floor to any council members who would like to share any words or statements to this effect.
Mayor?
Yes, Council Member Springer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the fine proclamation. And of course, second it wholeheartedly. I just want to say to everybody, besides thanking our healthcare workers, show them respect and keep wearing your masks. And let's get that curve flattened again. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for those words, Council Member Springer. Do any other council members wish to say anything?
Mayor Glenn.
Vice Mayor Hansen, the floor is yours.
I just want to echo what Council Member Springer said. I think the greatest way that we can actually show thanks is to not make their job any more difficult. So by bypassing parties or events or any way that people seem to be getting COVID-19, I think it is the biggest way we can show our appreciation. And by keeping ourselves safe, we keep healthcare workers safe as well. So I just want to echo that again, especially as we head into Christmas time, holiday season, and we just had Thanksgiving and seemed like a spike in cases from what I was seeing. I just want to remind people that we got a few months left here until hopefully the vaccine shows up and just stay strong in this time. And thank you again for all those that show up to work every day and do what needs to be done to keep our town going and to keep people safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Would another council member like to add any words?
Yes, I'm my word, Mayor.
We'll go first with Council Member Leary and then on to Council Member Barr. Council Member Leary.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing forward this proclamation tonight. I just wanted to highlight, I think a lot of people see when they see frontline workers or think of frontline healthcare workers, they're thinking of, our wonderful providers and nurses, CNAs. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes as well. A lot of other very important players in the hospital over there that maybe don't always get appreciated. Our EVS staff, we would be lost without them keeping the facility clean. The materials management staff, making sure that our supplies and inventory are kept stocked. There's a lot of, all of our maintenance folks, making sure the facility is still running. And there's just a lot of people in that team making sure that the healthcare is continuing. And I love what Councilperson Hansen and Springer said. Thank a healthcare worker by staying home, passing on parties and other events in the next month or so here, I guess, or until the vaccine comes. But really, think of your healthcare workers when you stay home. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Council Member Leary. And Council Member Barr.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the things that I always know is appreciated are healthcare workers, especially at our front line. But I also wanted to point out that we have a lot more frontline people that should be recognized also. We have our fire department. They're on the front line dealing with a lot of medical issues with their ambulance calls. We also have a police department who just handled a very volatile situation just a few days ago. So I'd like to make a shout out to all our frontline workers. But I do also appreciate the proclamation that you brought forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Council Member Barr. Would any other council members like to say anything?
Madam Mayor.
Council Member Henderson.
Thank you. Yes, I wasn't last. Sorry, CJ. I also agree with your proclamation, and I really appreciate you bringing it forward. Everything that our medical field people are doing is just phenomenal. And when I say medical field, I'm repeating what Alyssa was saying. You know, the people in the stock room, the housekeepers, the everybody there at the hospital doing everything they can to keep our hospital safe, our people safe, and all of that. I think it's just fantastic. And I too agree with Councilmember Barr on the other frontline workers. They too need a shout out. I don't want them to feel that we're not supporting them as well. They, what they do every day is phenomenal. So thank you so much for doing this. And again, like Vice Chair Hansen said, or Vice Mayor Hansen said, you know, the only way to respect, show as much respect as you can to your healthcare workers is to wear your mask and to try and keep this COVID at bay. You know, when you come, when you're coming into Bethel from a village that's in lockdown, you're taking a chance at spreading it, and then you're taking a chance at taking it home. And it's very scary and it's very sneaky that way. So please, everybody, take the time to show that respect and let's just knock this COVID out. It's all on us to do that. It's not on the medical field to take care of that. It's on us to do that. And again, thank you so much for bringing this forward, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. All right, anyone else who would wish to say something under this proclamation?
I may do it.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate much of what everyone said. You know, all the work that our healthcare workers have done, you know, failure, something like this goes in comparison to the great sacrifice and the great debt that we owe them for just working tireless hours, working the fingers to the bone. But I also just want to take the opportunity to thank our security workers in YKHC. You know, those are the folks that are screening everybody that are coming in. Also, the hospitality department. I was going to say that they like never really, when I had to go in there quite a bit, and then they are never terse with me. They're always very kind and always very, and I guess you could say upbeat, despite the circumstances. But moreover, I think too, just, I would like to recognize just the people working in our grocery stores, the people who, you know, check out all their groceries and things like that. They, it's very likely have to come into contact with individuals who may or may not have the sickness. They're really putting themselves at risk. And I think what they're doing is really kind of an unsung sort of sacrifice right now with all that's going on. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank those folks as well. So thank you, everyone, who's helped us get through this. And, of course, just keep wearing your mask. You know, the news of the vaccine on the horizon, but still, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel where we got to wear a mask, and that's the only way we're going to get to that light at the end of the tunnel. So thank you.
Great. Thank you for your words, Councilmember McCormick. All right, that concludes item 8.1, our proclamation. I ask that folks remember the week of December 27th, 2020 is Frontline Healthcare Worker Appreciation Week, and show your appreciation. And as several council members said, wearing your mask and staying home is one excellent way to show our appreciation for our frontline workers during that week of December. That brings us to item 9, unfinished business. And before we go into item 9.1, we've now been almost 2 hours without a break here at City Council this evening. It's 8:23. I would like to suggest that we take a break until 8:30. Council has a long evening ahead of us still. Clerk Strickler, do I need to call a vote on that, or can I just issue the break?
It would be good to call a vote.
Okay. Is there a motion to take a break until 8:30 p.m.
Come on.
I didn't catch that. Was it Vice Mayor Hansen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
motion from Hansen, second from Council Member Henderson. All those in favor of taking a break until 8:30 p.m., please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Okay, we'll reconvene at 8:30.
are muted.